Good afternoon, Hawks fans. I'm Andy Martinez. I'm sitting here in the North Campus QUTV studios with Andrew McCulloch, my co-host for Hawk Sports Radio. Andrew, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Another lovely November day. I'm just starting to wonder when is it going to stop, you know?
Hopefully not anytime soon right now. getting on to the matter, KU football. Big game this weekend against McKendree. A good McKendree squad, and you know, it'll be important for KU to be able to build off of last week's, especially the fourth quarter performance last week.
Absolutely, heck of a performance as we talked about yesterday, and it's only going to get tougher now for the Hawks. You know, this is a tough McKendree team, 4-2 in the conference, 6-2 overall. They've got a high-powered offense, and their defense is no joke either. Only giving up about 20 points a game. Had a chance to look at the stats here before we got here, and you know, their quarterback having a heck of a year. Their offense is just, you know, it's one of the best in the GLVC, and their defense is as well. So I mean, this is a team that's been playing pretty well this year, and for KU, it's going to be another tough test.
Yeah, it'll be the kind of test that you want to be having, especially this late on in the season, and especially after a big game, where you pull off a comeback in the manner that you did against Truman State. You'll want to be able to come out here and put out a good showing and get, maybe not necessarily, you know, a win isn't guaranteed by no means with a good team like McKendree, but you can go out there and put out a good showing, and you know, what this Hawks team has shown is anything can happen with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You take a look at these two teams' records last year, kind of similar. The Hawks went 6-5 last year, McKendree 5-6. However, the way they've bounced back this year, McKendree's been able to bounce back. They've had a much more successful year than the Hawks have. They've taken that step forward that we thought KU might take this year. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing to look at as well. You know, and for KU, I mean, this is a chance. It's not going to be easy by any means, but this is a chance to kind of just make up for a disappointing season thus far. Maybe win your last two games and finish 500.
Yeah, this is kind of a McKendree team. This is honestly a team that KU probably, this is what they wanted to be doing, is have a breakout year this season like McKendree had. And they're almost doing everything that KU would have liked to have done this season on a consistent basis. 1,500 yards rushing, 2,300 yards passing, balanced attack, you know, establish a run and get the passing game going, and they're being playing pretty successful. And you know, KU might want to look at this game and say, hey, kind of like the Ohio Dominican game, but in a different manner. But be like, hey, you know, this is a team that's been struggling for a few years, and look what they're doing now. And KU can say, hey, you know, like, what's to say we can't do that in the near future? What's to say we can't do it next year?
Yeah, you have to look at this McKendree team if you're KU. You have to look at them as a building block for you in the upcoming future. This season, you know, it's pretty much here and gone. You know, just two games left, both on the road. You know, this one against McKendree, it's going to be tough. You know, this is a team that scores 37 a game, only gives up 20. They get good yardage on the ground. KU's been, you know, iffy on the, you know, run defense. So that's one way McKendree might be able to exploit KU's defenses through the run. They've been able to do so, like you said. They're such a balanced attack. I look at this game for the Hawks as it's going to be such a tough challenge to come out of McKendree with a win.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, this is good for KU to go on the road and test their mettle a little bit. And you know, you'd rather have this game now, building off of the performance you had last week against Truman State, than having it after Ohio Dominican, because you know. Against Truman State, you knew what you were getting, and you knew you were kind of, I guess to say, more on an even par than you would be against McKendree. So you'd rather have this week right now when you kind of have the high and you kind of have momentum building up. And you know, you want to be able to build off what happened last week against a team like McKendree, because, you know, if they play McKendree last week instead of this week, after what happened against Ohio Dominican, you know, I'm not so sure KU can pull off a comeback like they did this past week against Truman.
Yeah, and another thing going for KU is, like Truman, this is a McKendree team that they're so familiar with. You know, been playing them. They've been in the GLVC ever since 2012 together when they were both, you know, they both moved to the GLVC. But, you know, with what happened with Truman last week, yeah, it's a major positive step forward for the Hawks. Their comeback, they're going to have more confidence. The offense was rolling in the fourth quarter. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see if they can carry that over. If their defense can carry over the stops that they got against Truman, because they're going to have to do that against McKendree too. McKendree's a little bit of a better offense than Truman. Truman was, you know, they were really gelling coming into the game last week against KU. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge, like you said. And, you know, another thing that you could look at as well is that KU played the GLVC leader, Indy, very well on the road, losing just 26-20. Yep. And, you know, you look at Indy right now, they're on a 7-game winning streak. They're just absolutely rolling right now in the conference. They played them pretty well. Who's to say they can't do the same thing right now against McKendree?
This is what I just pulled up. Joe Batasso is the defensive coordinator of McKendree. He was previously the D coordinator here at QU last season. He moved this past offseason. This probably never happens at this level, but I bet you a bunch of the QU defensive players, especially, you know, they might want to one up their ex coach and say, hey, you know, this is what you're missing out on, or this is what you left. And yeah, they got the better record, but some of the players might say, hey, you know, let's go out there and put out our best showing and show coach what he's missing out on, basically.
Yeah, you know, these players are gonna want to, you know, prove to coach, you know, you shouldn't have left, should have stayed with us. On the other hand, if you're looking at it from McKendree's perspective, you know, they're going to be asking their coach, you know, hey, you know, how do we attack this defense?
Yeah,
you know, what ways did QU's defense, you know, prevail last year? What ways were they weak? How can we attack them? You know, how can we exploit their weaknesses? You know, that's actually kind of a valuable thing for McKendree to have.
Definitely.
You know, obviously, sure, with a new D coordinator for QU, maybe things are going to change a little bit, but you're looking at a lot of the same players as well. And you're probably looking at a lot of the same, you know, tendencies on the defensive side, or a lot of the same principles for defense, you know, because obviously this defense, while they may have a defensive coordinator, it's probably primarily run by Coach Padgett, you know, and how QU's defense has been successful mainly because of the head coach.
Yeah. So one thing that you might know is, hey, you know, well, Coach Patasso's defensive teams usually are weak at this phase or in doing this. And so you want to try and exploit that. You know, hypothetically speaking, let's say it's, you know, third down running game. So if that's the weakness, okay, then on third down, we're running the ball and we're going to jam it down the throats and we're going to be successful. And those are just little things that you can pick up on. You can have that advantage that, you know, when Southwest Baptist plays McKendree or an Indianapolis plays McKendree, they don't necessarily have that advantage that QU might have against this team. And that's going to be really big for QU to be able to exploit that, because, you know, this is a game, you know, if you win these last two games against McKendree and Missouri S&T, then you go into the offseason with a ton of momentum going on the recruiting trail, just little things like that, that, you know, really add up once you start thinking about them, because there's a big difference when you go into the offseason with 5 wins, as opposed to 3 wins. So right now, this is a big, tough two-game stretch, not just for the players and for everyone involved with the program, but for Coach Padgett and going out there and building on the recruiting trail.
Just a little bit of background here on this game. McKendree all-time leads the series 12-4, so, you know, the Hawks have a lot to go out and prove. Obviously, it's been kind of a one-sided affair with these two teams, and, you know, just to piggyback off that, last year, McKendree beating QU 28-21, so a close game. With McKendree, you know, and QU, they're a little similar as well. Both have, you know, starting senior quarterbacks, guys that can, you know, get you yardage through the air and on the ground as well. So, I mean, one thing that I look forward to is the battle between these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, these are two teams almost a mirror image of each other. You know, you can almost put on the McKendree uniform on the QU players and put the QU uniforms on the McKendree players, and you scheme-wise and how things run, you probably wouldn't see much difference because they kind of do things alike. But yeah, the quarterback matchup is going to be a lot of fun. They're both guys that, you know, aren't going to do too much, you know, throwing and killing you with 400 yards and Tom Brady-esque numbers, but they're going to, you know, manage the game and be able to kill off a lot of plays and just be able to make little changes that most other quarterbacks, even at the level of D2 level, won't be able to do.
Yeah, and you look at Nick Lonergan's fourth quarter that he had last week. It was just stellar, you know. And the one thing that we talked about yesterday is that QU had struggled so immensely in the fourth quarter, only scoring 12 points, you know, before that Truman game when they outscored him 17-0. So, you know, it's going to be important for QU to get out to an early start. That's something that they tend to either get or they just don't, you know. Sometimes
that's been one inconsistency on the whole season for them. I mean,
there's been a lot of them,
yeah,
but that's also one inconsistency is starting well or starting poorly, and ending well and ending poorly.
Yeah.
Really, well, it hasn't been inconsistent ending poorly. They've ended poorly pretty much every game besides the last game against Truman. So, you know, for the Hawks, you know, obviously their offense, it's going to be a key here with getting Lonergan going, also getting Chris Harris going. you know, making sure Poindexter gets his touches as well. One thing, actually, though, about the McKendree defense is they have been able to successfully get to the quarterback this year. I believe they're at least top five in the GLVC in sacks. They might actually lead the conference in sacks, I might have saw. But they're a team that successfully gets to the quarterback. And, you know, QU's offensive line, it's been, you know, it's kind of been a little shaky. They've been all right, but they've also surrendered, you know, enough sacks to where it's going to frustrate the offense and the flow of the offense.
Yeah, that's going to be a big thing for KU, especially when, you know, you get into those, because it's going to happen. You can't prevent it, but there's going to be those third and sixes, third and sevens, where you're going to have to step back and pass it. And is the offensive line going to be able to make enough, give enough time for Nick Lonergan to go down all his checks and find the open receiver? Because if he isn't, you know, it's going to be a long, long day for Lake Nick Lonergan and the KU offense as a whole. Because, you know, not only can they get the quarterback, but if they can get through the offensive line easily, you're not going to be able to establish a run game. And you're going to have to sit back and pass the ball all day, which is probably what McKendree wants KU to do. And that's how they want him to beat him. If he can beat him, if you can have KU beat you like that, well, then you tip your hat to them, because that's not how you game plan for them. But you would take your chances in letting Nick Lonergan try and throw for 400 yards and try and beat you that way.
Yeah, and like last week, you know, pretty much keys for me, you know, establish the run. You got to protect Lonergan. You got to block, obviously, for the offensive line. Time of possession, yet again, is going to be key, because this is a McKendree team that will score on you, you know, quick.
Yeah.
They've got a balanced attack, just like QU does, but McKendree's been executing it very well, you know, this season. So if QU can establish those longer drives and get those points on the board, you know, actually they weren't doing so really until the fourth quarter against Truman State, we discussed, you know, they weren't able to punch it in. If they're able to punch it in early, you know, early in the game.
I don't think that game is even close. I think if they're able to punch it in against Truman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a completely different game. So it'll be important to be able to just establish that early rhythm.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like I said, just win time of possession, keep the defense off the field. I know the defense was solid in the fourth quarter, but, you know, keep them off the field. McKendree's got a high-powered attack. Keep your offense on the field, because you have a lot of weapons. You got Lonergan, you got Chris Harris, Darius Burse, Owen Schoenberger, Eric Poindexter. You got a lot of guys that can make plays. And if you're able to do that, able to put points on the board, you're going to handicap this McKendree offense and their defense. You're going to tire out their defense, which is also very successful, only limiting teams to 20 points a game. And that's how you're going to win the game.
Yeah. You mentioned the quarterback sacks from McKendree, number one in the nation, with four sacks, averaging four sacks a game.
Yeah.
It's going to be something where, you know, you if you step back too much in the passing game, it's going to be a long night for QU, or a long day for QU, because they're going to eventually get to them. And, you just want to be able to, you know, give Nick Lonergan at least 4 or 5 seconds to be able to, you know, get to all his checks and find his players, because if he finds Eric Poindexter with a yard of space, you know, we all know what Poindexter can do. He can break that off for 25, 35 yards, whatever it is. So all he needs is just enough time to be able to find one of his weapons that you mentioned that can create a lot in open space. And a lot of things, you know, one of the other things that you want to make sure you're moving the ball forward. McKendree's 10th in the nation in tackles for a loss, averaging eight a game, almost nine a game. If you don't do that, you know, for the KU offense, it's just going to be a very, very long day, because you're not going to be able to run the ball. You're not going to be able to pass the ball. It's going to be almost impossible to score if you can't do either of those.
Yeah, their offense 15th in the nation in total offense. Their quarterback, Isaac Fisher, in total offense is 6th, completion percentage 7th. So this is a quarterback that's had a phenomenal senior season. And, you know, you look like you said, you know, with the sacks 1st in the nation, tackles for loss, 10th?
10th, yep.
One thing about Nick Lonergan that we don't often talk about is his ability to scramble and escape the pocket and be able to gain yardage on the ground. That's such a valuable, valuable skill to have as a quarterback these days. So that's one thing that QU does have going for him. That's one thing Lonergan has going for him. But, you know, overall, it's going to be such a tough match for this Hawks team, the way McKendree's been playing. So why don't you go ahead and give me a prediction, what you think is going to play out and how you think QU can win, or if they lose, why you think they will lose.
I think the thing for QU will be getting out the first drive, establishing a drive. Whether they get the ball first or second, they got to establish a drive and be able to establish their offense and get that going. If they don't do that, it's going to be a very, very long day for them. And I think defensively, you kind of just had to play like you did last week, and you know, carry that momentum and play with that chip on your shoulder about playing your old D coordinator. All those little things you got to carry with you, and you know, you give yourselves a chance.
Get those third down stops that they're getting.
Yeah, you got to do all that, and you know, if the defense does that, then even if the offense is struggling, you still give yourself a chance, because I can't see McKendree putting up 40, 50 points on the defense if they play like they did last week. But I still think it's going to be very difficult for QU. I think McKendree wins this one, and I think it's going to be about 31-21 for McKendree. It's going to be a tough game for QU.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I think just the way McKendree's going right now, the way their quarterback's been playing this season, you know, it's been such a great year for McKendree, and I think it continues for them. I'm not saying the Hawks are going to get blown out here. I'm saying probably 28-19.
Yeah, it's gonna be a pretty close one, especially if QU plays like they did last week. I wouldn't put it past them for winning. Will it be easy? And is it gonna be a guarantee? No, by no means. But at the same time, you know, if they play like they did last week, that was about as strong of a QU performance as we've seen since maybe the first half of William Jewell.
Absolutely phenomenal quarter that they played there, and hopefully they can carry it over. You know, one team we're hoping carries over a good quarterfinal performance is the men's soccer team after beating Bellarmine 3-1. They've got a tough match tonight at 5 p.m. Central Time against Indy. We've got their stats from their previous game, in which they won 3-2 in overtime. You look at this game, goals from Jordan Stevens and Taylor Reese. You know, Stevens is going to be in the lineup tonight, but Taylor Reese, with that devastating ankle injury, he's going to be out. So that's going to be a tough loss for the Hawks, and it's going to be a tough game to win overall, I think.
Yeah, and they just announced the GOBC regular season awards about an hour and a half ago, and Taylor Reese was named Offensive Player of the Year, which, you know, is kind of a bittersweet pill for the Q soccer team to swallow, because, you know, great for the program and great for Taylor and great for, you know, Mike Carpenter and everyone for Taylor Reese to be able to get Offensive Player of the Year. But at the same time, it's like, well, we have the best offensive player in the conference, and he's not going to be able to play for the rest of the season for us. It's a tough pill to swallow for QU. But what they've shown in these last few games is they're getting offense from everywhere. You know, not just one person is scoring. It's not just Taylor Reese that's putting in every goal like it was last year with X and Jordan Roberts. This year, it's, you know, everyone's scoring. Eddie Flesch is starting to heat up. Jordan Stevens is playing well. Pete Kondo's playing well. Top to bottom, you know, the offense is starting to click, and you know, it's a good time for the QU offense to finally start finding a groove.
Yeah, and you said it absolutely. The point, that I was saying, you know, Taylor Reese, you know, he scored those two goals, and then Stevens had the other one. This game was played a long, long time ago, September 27th. You know, so over a month ago, pretty much. Maybe it doesn't sound like a long time, but for a season of soccer, it is a long time. A lot can happen, as we know already. Like you said, you know, a lot of these guys are stepping up. QU is finding offense, and their defense has tightened up a little bit too.
Yeah.
They're not giving up these, you know, two goals, three goal games like they have, you know, in the past. They've been on a nice winning streak, winning four games in a row. And for this game against Indy, you know, a lot's riding on this game, I think. You know, like we've talked about, Indy in that sixth spot, you know, for the regional rankings, QU in that fifth spot. You lose this game to Indy, they're probably going to jump over you. You know, I would say it's more than likely. They've already got a better record than the Hawks. Yep. And if they beat QU here in the GLVC tournament, it's more than likely going to just prove that, you know, they're going to jump over them. Now, I actually have heard from a little birdie that the QU men have been told that they're going to make the NCAA tournament, but that's just a rumor. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Yeah, I think both these teams should make it unless Indy gets blown out tonight because they're the sixth seed. But at the same time, you know, even though you have heard those things, you still don't want to put it the chance. You just want to win tonight and you know, just seal up that spot. Because if you win tonight, you're in. There's no lock berths for sure or anything, but if you were a betting man, you know, this is about as close as you can get to locking up your NCAA tournament spot.
Yeah, logically, you'd have to think so. You know, you're beating teams like Indy that are already slated to be in. I mean, this team has been playing so well the last month or so. You know, and it's just so surprising, obviously, with all the stuff that's happened to them. You know, now you've got Taylor Reese that's out. You know, it's going to be a tough matchup tonight for the Hawks. But just, you know, the way they've been playing, you know, they've been proving you wrong. You know, they've got these guys stepping up out of nowhere. These Eddie Pleshas, you know, Kyle Frazier with the goal against Bellarmine as well. Pete Kondo with two assists against Bellarmine played really well. you know, this is a deeper team than maybe perhaps we had thought.
Yeah, I think that's good for Mike Carpenter because, you know, coming in the season, you knew what X could give you. You knew what Taylor Reese could give you, but you didn't know anything else. And you knew that defense, you're going to be keying in on X and Taylor Reese. And so it was kind of like, well, do we have a third weapon? Do we have another guy that can come in and you know, get us a goal or you know, provide an assist or create a little bit of space to get Taylor Reese or X a shot? And, you know, what we've kind of seen is maybe it wasn't necessarily about the first half of the season, but as the season started going on, those guys started stepping up and stepping up and stepping up. And to the point right now where everyone stepped up and you don't know who's going to create that moment, which is great for QU because, you know, you have all these weapons and it's horrible for opposing teams because it's like, okay, do we key in on this guy or do we key in on this guy? There's just so many possibilities that can go wrong by, you know, by the other team because of how hot QU is playing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, their offense is clicking right now, and I think we both agree as long as their defense stays stout, you know, plays well, as long as Nate Griffin, you know, remains strong in front of the net, you know, goal. I mean, I think this team can go on a little bit of a run here. I think they can win this game tonight. Will they? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Here's actually the interesting thing maybe that I'd like to ask you is, you know, playing at Rockhurst, it's a neutral site. Does that favor anybody, do you think? Do you think one team may play better on a neutral site than the other? Do you think?
I think it's just really a toss-up.
Yeah,
toss-up. If you wanted to say one thing, would you rather be playing them here or Indy? Here in Quincy or in Indy? Of course Quincy, but would you rather be playing them in Kansas City or Indy? But that's not even a question.
Kansas City, yeah.
But, you know, it's really – you'd rather have it here in Quincy, but a nice second choice would be having it in a neutral site like this. And who knows, maybe, you know, Indy's a little bit further of a trip to Kansas City than Quincy is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that kind of thing plays a factor. You never know. But, you know, it's still not going to be easy by any means. But, you know, Quincy, you know, is riding high right now to where they can go out and they can play anyone and play with a little bit of confidence on on themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, right now this team's rolling. 4 wins in a row for the men's team. It's going to be a tough game. How do you think it's going to play out? Do you think QU is going to be able to get the job done?
I think this is going to be another overtime game like it was in the first matchup. And I think Quincy's going to win. It's going to be a one-goal game. I'm going to go 2-1. It's going to be very gritty. It's going to be very tough. And one of the things that I pulled up right now while we were talking is Quincy's fifth in the region, Indy sixth, Cedarville is fourth in the GMAC conference, and Alderson Broaddus is seventh in the GMAC or in the region, and Missouri S&T is eighth. Missouri S&T is also in the GOC tournament. They beat Rockhurst, who's the number one seed. Missouri S&T plays themselves into a chance to play in the NCAA tournament, provide results go their way. So really, the three teams underneath Quincy can all theoretically leapfrog Quincy. So it's going to be important for them to, you know, this is a must win game, not just because you want to win the GOC tournament, which you really want to, but to play yourselves into the NCAA tournament it's a big win.
What are the odds you think that Missouri S&T can pull off that upset against Rockhurst? So
I'd go at most 20%, 20% chance. I don't see it happening, but at the same time, you know, a fluke goal, and you just defend, and you give yourself a chance to win. But yeah, I can't see Rockhurst losing that to Missouri S&T. It's just a possibility I was throwing out there.
Right. No, yeah, absolutely. And it is a possibility. Just asking. Yeah, I actually agree with you. Read my mind. I'm picking Quincy 2-1 to win tonight. I just think the way that they're going right now, they're strong on the defensive side of the ball. And I think, you know, they have those guys that can step up and score you those two goals that you need to win.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to go to overtime, though. I just think it's going to be, you know, a regular 2-1 win.
It will be a close game, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another team in the GOC semifinals, the women, but they're in Louisville. Bellarmine is the host of the final GOC Final Four. Quincy played Truman State a little bit over a week ago. Lost to Truman State in Kirksville, Missouri, 2-0. But talking to some of the girls, they're confident heading into this game. They feel they can beat Truman State.
Good.
Truman State plays on that grass field. It's very narrow field. It's not a great facility by any means. You go to Bellarmine, which hosted the Final Four last year.
Yeah, we know that field.
Yeah, turf field, really nice facilities.
It feels much more wide as well, not narrow per se like Truman. So
yeah, it's
a lot more space.
It suits QU a lot going into this game, and really a must-win game as well.
Absolutely, I agree. Must-win because you can obviously jump Truman in the regional rankings. If you beat them, I think you have a chance to really make some damage, do some damage as well if you can win the entire conference championship. And with this team, they are confident, and that's really good. I mean, they should be confident, you know, just because you lose to Truman, you know, what, 9 days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, road game, tough game. You're not used to playing on a grass field. You play on a turf field. This championship is playing on a turf field right now. You've got the advantage, I would think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really important. Not only that, you beat Truman. Bellarmine sits at number two right now in the regional rankings. If you were to perhaps meet Bellarmine up in the championship game and you hand them another loss like you did earlier this season, who's to say maybe you can't jump up to that number two spot?
Yeah, and there's a huge difference between not being number two and number three or four.
Yeah, we discussed this, yes.
Because there's a chance, provided how things play out, there's a chance you might host a first-round WCC game by being the number two team in the being the number two team in the region. So... You know, you want that spot that as high as you can get in the NCAA tournament, because I think Grand Valley State's got the one seed locked up.
Locked, yeah, probably.
Which is kind of disappointing for KU because it's like you beat Grand Valley State and that's their only loss of the season. But at the same time,
You could also look at it with Grand Valley State. That was the first game of the season, and then they've run the table since. Yeah. That's special. Yeah.
You know, Quincy. I think that looking deeper ahead into the season, that's also confidence. You know you can beat the number one team in the region, but we're jumping the gun a little bit, or at least I am. Quincy right now against Truman, you know, they're focused on this game and getting this win, and for sure we're most likely moving up into at least the three spot until tomorrow.
Yeah, you've solidified your spot overall. Now it's just about can you move up. Can you win that conference championship? Can the seniors make it 3 out of 4 years that they've won? Just kind of like we've talked about yesterday in the recap show. You know, this is a special moment for these seniors. Can they get the job done? It's also a special moment for the younger ones as well. Like I said, the freshmen, you know, if they can get a taste of the conference title, get a taste of that victory for this year, for upcoming years, they're going to just be much more experienced. They're going to be able to provide actually leadership for the players that come in when they're seniors. So, you know, you just look at it from, you know, a broad perspective. It's important. You know, this has been a fantastic season. You want to end it really well, obviously, with the GLVC, and then you want to go into the NCAA tournament and make some noise.
Yeah, really, the momentum is Quincy has a lot of momentum, even though they did lose their last regular season game. They went out and beat Lewis 4-0 very, very handily.
Yep.
If you play your game, I'm not so sure they can't just go out and win the GOC tournament and then, you know, make it to the regional championship against most likely Grand Valley State. There's no reason why you couldn't think they would do that. The girls are playing hot. You know, outside that loss against Truman, they've won consistently and in convincing fashion. I think the highlight was beating the number one team in the conference, then undefeated Bellarmine, heading their only loss of the season.
6 of their last 7, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And you know, beating a Bellarmine 3-0, it's really a good time to be playing as hot as you are if you're Dave Musso or any lady on the team.
Yeah, we talked about the men's team having a lot of weapons right now that have stepped up. Well, the women's team has had a lot of weapons.
Yeah.
Ashley Burton, obviously. Abby Pulliam, obviously. But then you've had Mackenzie Reeves step up and play really well. Gabby Herrick scored the other day. You know, you've got so many players that can just do so much damage. And then we've always talked about Haley Markway, who's just kind of been that centerpiece and helps the defense out a lot. This team doesn't give up hardly any goals, usually. I mean, they gave up the 2 to Truman State. But outside of that, you know, in their previous 4 games, they had shutout teams. They shut out Illinois Springfield, McKendree, Southern Indiana, and then Bellarmine, as you said. And then, of course, they shut out Lewis in the quarterfinal. So this is a team right now that is just white hot. And I look at this game against Truman, and I'm seeing 2-0, 3-0 win. I'm actually going to be that bold and say that.
Yeah, I think they win too, but I'm going to go like 1-0, 2-1. I don't think it'll be as
I'll say 2-0. I'll say 2-0, but I'm sure I have a lot of confidence in this team right now.
Yeah, they're playing about as hot as they can get, and they have the confidence, which they rightly should, the way they're playing. And you mentioned the shutouts. They've given up 3 goals in that 7-game stretch. Before that, the previous 4 games, they'd given up 5 goals. So, you know, defense is shored up. Everything's starting to click in every facet of the game for KU. And you wouldn't want it any other way right now in the postseason, especially with all the implications that are going on.
Yeah, and weeks ago we talked about this team getting hot at the right time, both teams actually, and they've seemingly done so. So it's going to be a very important week for our Hawks sports teams. You know, a big game against McKendree for the football team. And then these soccer teams just looking to keep their postseason alive in the GLVC conference tournament. That's going to wrap up the show for Hawk Sports Radio Preview. We'll be back next week to recap everything that happened this weekend. Thanks for Andy Martinez's input on everything, as always. I'm Andrew McCulloch, and we'll see you next week, Hawks fans.